السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد، الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد، وسبحانه وتعالى علوا كثيرا، والحمد لله سبحانه وتعالى حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الصالحين الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اكتبنا منهم، آمين يا رب. The imperfection of the nafs and the perfection of the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. That would lead me to talk, amongst other things that you have in your summary, to talk about this nafs and the ilm of the nafs, and that ilm of the nafs is another very essential component of ilm that will inshaAllah ta'ala help us in the quest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by providing us, again as we mentioned earlier, awakening and then inshaAllah ta'ala momentum and energy as we continue. And I need to know my nafs. I need to know my nafs because, as we have learned before and we continue to learn, if there is any hurdle, the major hurdle, the major hijab and veil between the qalb and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the nafs. Shaytan himself, al-la'in, operates through the nafs. That's why many ulama, rahimahumullah ta'ala, say that the lamma of the nafs precedes the lamma of the shaytan, or the haraka, I'm sorry, of the nafs, of the nafs precedes the intervention of shaytan. That shaytan watches for the nafs and the movement of the nafs and the weakness of the nafs. If shaytan observes that the haraka of the nafs, then and only then shaytan unleashes his whispers and his attacks. And if he sees, of course, the qalb as a nafs, of course, then that becomes the most fertile ground, the most inviting ground to shaytan into our qulub, because our qulub have become nufus. And the state of our nufus, as is summarized by many of our ulama, al-amilun, al-arifun, rahmahumullah ta'ala, and as one reflects on this, one sees definitely the veracity of this system. And that our nufus are different. They have different manifestations and states and phases. And we begin with the lower ones. There is a nafs whose traits and characteristics and sifat are bahimi. The bahimi nafs. And why bahimi nafs? Because the defining characteristics of this nafs, of this self, of this nafs, are bahimi-like. And if we look at what are the main characteristics that satisfy a behemoth, that make a behemoth feel pleasure and feel delight and feel satisfied, and when we look at that, we find that they are, again, as you know, eating and drinking and sleeping and copulating. Copulating is a word, a polite word for sexual intercourse. These are the main characteristics of the behemoth. And they say, rahmahullah ta'ala, if we were to be exposed the haqiqa of our nufus, in other words, what we see externally is more symbolic of what we are, but what we really are is not seen by the naked eye, but by the eye of the qalb. If that haqiqa of what we are would be exposed to us, then some of us would found that our nafs is a, as Imam al-Ghazali said, is a pig, for example. Or he said, is a wild dog. It's a ferocious, predatory wild dog. Or a shaitan, in the form of a shaitan. And those, he doesn't look at them as symbols. Those are the haqiqa of what we are, sometimes. And thus, a human person whose focus in life, whose pursuits in life, and consequently the time and the energies he or she spends in this pursuit, determines the state of his or her nafs. If he pursues eating and sleeping and drinking and copulating, and that is the major focus of his or her life, then that person's nafs is a behemi nafs. My nafs, then, if it is like that, is a behemi nafs. And I perhaps need to remind myself and my dear brothers and sisters that sometimes we take that and we actualize it in a structure of a family. Huh? And then you have a family of baha'im in the haqiqa of things, whose pursuits are these elements, are these ends. And we work so hard, and we find jobs, and we study many times because of those nufus in us that we are. The aim is what? More eating in different sophisticated ways. Global markets and global economy, part of which is, in my judgment, I can see more of the world becoming more and more bahimi, civilizationally speaking. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about that, subhanAllah, 14 centuries ago, about global markets. Yes, he did. He said, min alamati sa'a, that the markets become nearer to each other in the world, to the extent that even the wife will work in business with her husband, in trade with her husband. He said it 14 centuries ago, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. تَتَقَارَبُ الْأَسْوَاقُ لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ حَتَّى تَتَقَارَبُ الْأَسْوَاقُ. Markets come nearer to each other, and so on. So, and we built up such a culture, and we work so hard so that many times we have more of that on the table and at home and around us, and different types of beddings, and you remember those things that I mentioned to you, then we are interested after that in this type of bed and that types of bed and water bed and feather bed and ila ghayri dhalik, and sophisticate the means by which to attain that. And then we work so hard so that at the weekend we do what? What do people do on the weekend? What do we want to nourish at the weekend? Echi, I have to get some rest. I have to have fun. I have worked hard for what? So that at the weekend I do what? And I do not ridicule anybody. You ridicule only yourselves. I ridicule only myself. If we do, then we're forgetting the objective behind this. It's not the others, it's me. I work all the weekend so that at the end of the weekend I relax doing what? Eating, sleeping, and drinking, and copulating, especially in the world now with the global culture of freedom of the self. And part of that copulating, you know, has become the most haram type. And then the means to attain that have been sophisticated and have become part of the culture, part of the civilized culture even. For what? for more of that, and you give it, of course, very resonant names and adjectives. And I do that for so that the weekend I do more of that. And then I work so hard so that I have vacation. At the end of the year, I have vacation to do what? We go for vacation to do what in vacation? Basically, the major characteristics, some have other characteristics, but the major characteristics is to have fun. Fun means what? Can you have fun without eating? They say, and drinking, and different types of drinks, and of course, fun, you know, copulating, and the means that accentuate that, and that lead to that of bars, and of clubs, and of discotheques, and of clubs, and of kada, even professional clubs. وهذه الأمور centered around that, to fulfill that in sometimes, either we say, prolific ways, superfluous ways, or excessive ways that cultivate and nurture and feed and animate this behemoth in me. We all need to eat indeed, and sleep and drink, and have multiply. But we nurture the nafs until that becomes basically the average concern, the major concern, and for some, the only concern. The nafs, that nafs, does not become, is no more a mount that you ride in your journey of your qalb to Allah. Your qalb is not riding your nafs and guiding your nafs where it goes, but your nafs is your nafs, forgive me. My nafs is riding my heart. The horse is riding me. The horse is riding on the rider. The horse is riding on the rider. Whereas it should be the qalb riding the nafs. And when the rider and the horse stop to graze, that beautiful parable that was shared with us with Brother Ali 3 years ago, 4 years ago, remember that? Then when the horse stops, when the rider stops and takes a break to eat, and the horse to graze, would the rider graze with the horse? Go eat what the horse eats, you would be foolish. So the nafs would decide what the rider is nourished like, unfortunately. And that is the behemoth. And then we have indeed sometimes a civilization of Baha'im. A Bahimi, what I call a Bahimi civilization, whose traits and characteristics are centered around that. Then, of course, sometimes, as you know, as is fact in life, to attain more of those behemi traits and characteristics and satisfactions, we use what sometimes? Force. We use force. We use aggressive means. We take over territory. We take over companies. We take over factories. We destroy the competition. We express anger in this way. We are angry. And that is a nafs that finds satisfaction and realization through that. Sometimes to do more of those, to attain more of those behemi values and characteristics, but sometimes it finds, until it finds actually satisfaction in the very act of empowerment, in the very act of anger, in the very act of superiority, in the very act of attacking, in the very act of taking away. Those are predatory traits, sabu'i traits. The nafs becomes sabu'i nafs. Some call it kalbi nafs, meaning the wild dog, not the domesticated dog. tabu'i, nafs. Then if an individual, if I find satisfaction in anger, an excessive anger, if I find satisfaction, I repeat, let's begin here. If I find satisfaction in anger, and I show anger, and especially excessive anger, then I have traits of a sabu'i nafs. And the more I realize that anger, the more I have those sabu'i traits. Predatory traits. Sabu'i may sound nice. Kalbi traits. Because sabu'i in the Arabic language not only means lions, actually, but it means actually a predator. And that's the aggressive part in us. The aggressive part in us, when actualized, then we are actualizing, we are obeying, we are prostrating ourselves to a wild dog. As Imam al-Ghazali would put it, rahimahullah ta'ala. Now I look at myself. How much of that satisfaction do I have? How often time do I get excessively angry and entertain that anger and base my acts upon that anger? How long does it continue in me? The degree of that determines the degree of that predatory self within me, the nafs within me. And I need to know that because, obviously, I do not want to be a predator. I do not want to be a behemoth. I do not want to be as happy as a cow. I do not want to be as happy as a hyena. I don't want that. Yes, I am happy, one says. No, you're not happy. Yes, I am happy. Oh, I'm sorry. You are happy as a cow. You say that to yourself. You don't say that to others. But know that, so that we're not fooled by others. So that we're not drawn by that which others do and don't know. You know. Indulging in things that are dangerous liaisons and dangerous attractions of the nafs. And that look now, that's the civilized world. To be civilized is to do those things. To walk naked. To cultivate the nafs that is behemi. And to eat and drink and to eat and drink and entertain. Okay, what's the difference between me then and a cow and a pig? I said to you many times before, reminding myself first, Ya'lamullah, what is the difference between a human being and, forgive me, and a stone or a cow? Is it the way we look? In essence, in the haqiqa. Huh? In the haqiqa, no. Why? Why? Because it is well established that the same stuff of which we're made, they're made of. The same atoms. Same material that makes the cow and the pig. Khalqullah, if'alu ma yasha', is the one that makes the human being. Externally. Externally, you know, have you ever seen a surgery of surgeons removing the face of a person? Have you seen that? Have you seen that? Of course, you're a doctor. You doctors know that. Maybe you have not seen that, but I have seen that. Removing the very face, the skin underneath, it looks monstrous. Just a skin deep. Subhanallah, monstrous. Ugly, terrible, just that skin. We're not different from cows and pigs because of the atomic structure. They're the same stuff. The only way that makes us different physically in complexion and in structure is what? The way the atoms are organized in their molecules. That's all. The angles, believe it or not, that's all. Same stuff.
That cannot make us different. That's not the essence of our difference. That's why Allah in the Quran says, مَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ إِن تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكُ يَلْهَثْ. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعْلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرِ. All of these Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicating to us that there are some human beings whose essence is like these animals that he mentioned. Pigs and monkeys and dogs and cattle. Like cows and llamas and sheep and camels and so on and so forth. My nafs. I must know my nafs. My nafs. I must know this nafs. Because the object of tazkiyah is what? The object of tazkiyah is what? The nafs. In essence, it's not the qalb. Because the qalb is naturally divine, heavenly. The grip of the nafs over the qalb. That's what I want to free when I say tazkiyatu al-qalb. That's why we usually say tazkiyatu al-nafs. I don't think I've ever used tazkiyatu al-qalb. And I can develop a predatory community, predatory family, predatory culture, predatory civilization. And the predatory nafs, having now attained through power and through aggression and through anger, individually or collectively, that which is external, now sometimes it feels the need and the urge, and the next level of decadence, the next sub-level of decadence now is to own the hearts of man, the minds of man, to control those themselves, to be lord of man, to be god of man, to be the ultimate ruler of man, the legislator for man. And that is the nafs that is shaitani. The nafs that is shaitani. And of the traits and characteristics of shaitani, in addition to what I have just said, is kibr. Anytime I show kibr, vanity and arrogance, that is a trait of my nafs that is shaitani. If I show kibr, my nafs has characteristics of shaitan. If I delight also in that and I accept it, some people go to school, there are some schools that teach quote unquote manners of how to be, to look aristocratic. Another sophisticated word for mutakabbir, for ja'zari. Say, ja'zari. Another word for that. Vanity, arrogance. Shaitan showed arrogance, showed vanity. First crime against humanity, isn't it? The crime of kibr. Astakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. Sowing animosity between people. When one goes and talk ill about some other person, that's a shaitaniness in action. When someone backbites, that's a shaitaniness in action. When someone is ostentatious, likes to be seen by others, that's a shaitaniness in action. And so on. Until we develop, and if that's where we grow, and the family is like that, then you have family of shayateen. And we have then a community of shayateen, culture of shayateen, and a civilization of shayateen. Shaytani civilization in the haqiqah, not in appearance. In haqiqah, not in appearance. Appearances do not count, as we have established. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَشْكَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ, says Rasulullah. Allah does not concern himself, does not look at your appearances. He looks at your qulub. What qalb is this? What nafs is this, my dear brothers and sisters? SubhanAllah, I read a story. What was it called? In a book by lawyers. They call, I think, the Devil's Dictionary or something like that. A quote from that. And in that quote, this is the following story. وَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ عَلُوًا كَبِيرًا. That when God created man, and the devil did what he did, and appeared, or from him what had appeared, then when he created man and wanted to send God, wanted to send man on earth, then the devil addressed God and said, God, you're sending man on earth and man needs to live, me needs laws. Indicating, can I do that? This is the way they go in their story. So it is said there, وَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ عَلُوًا كَبِيرًا. This is metaphor. And God says, you wretched, wicked being, you the one who is the devout enemy of man, claim to want to be good for man and to want good for man. You want to claim to make laws for man. The devil answers, I beg your pardon. Can you imagine that? No, that's not what I meant, God. I meant that you let man make his own laws. And God said, so be it. In the Devil's Dictionary, written by some secular lawyers. I found it very interesting. I read it many years ago. Subhanallah. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. The witness came from her very family. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And when the evidence came from the people of the woman who claimed that he had done injustice to her. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. SubhanAllah. To the extent that there is an acknowledgement that to give man power to legislate and to make laws by himself, for himself, is an act of shaitan. That's what that story is telling. Interesting, that's how I read it. شَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. SubhanAllah. So when we entertain those things, that's nafs has those tendencies. And because at one point in the undergrowth and the underdevelopment of the human desire, the human desires always more and more, and the more you give man, the more man wants, until it wants to own not the human beings externally, physically and geographically and economically and militarily, but then, after that, when it attains that, it wants more than that. It wants the very heart of man. That's why tyrants, actually the essence of a tyrant is that he wants to be loved. But they can't give him love because he doesn't have the traits and characteristics for that, so he does that with power. And many of them delude themselves that the people love them. Isn't it true? The authoritarian people and the totalitarian people and the tyrants, tyran, tyrant, in Arabic it's an interesting same word. Universal. Tyrant. Actually, it is somehow a desire to be loved. That you give them your hearts, that you really love them and you revere them. They can't get that. They are deluded. They want it by force. And sometimes it is done by force. Sometimes it is done by makr. More hidden. not obvious tyranny, but by makr, delusion and illusion, diplomacy, and then handing in certain things to draw the cow, and then later on to draw the predator, and then to get the heart given. That's a nafs that is shaitani. Where do I stand of these? How much time and effective time do I spend in satisfying the values and the urges and the dictates of these levels of nafs? Luckily, there is a fourth state of the nafs that is called the nafs al-malaiki. An-nafs al-malaikiyya, the angelic type of nafs. An angel's satisfaction, as you know, my dear brothers and sisters, is in what? Is in eating? In sleeping? In copulating? In aggression? In conspiracy? In arrogance? In superiority complexes? In what? In nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In ibadah of 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 Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how they experience their happiness, an angelic happiness. And somehow, alhamdulillah, it is well that universally people agree that the best state to be is angelic. Even the tyrants believe that as human beings. The angelic tendencies in us. If in us, inside of me, I feel those bursts and momenta of wanting to be abd of Allah Azza wa Jal, of salah, of dhikr, of khalwa, of fikr, of dua, of salah ala nabi, of sawm, of sadaqah, of forgiveness, of charity, of helping others, of preferring others over me, of humility, of modesty, of patience, of gratefulness. If there are those, then that's an indication that I have also, alhamdulillah, traits of a nafs that is malaiki. To what extent? That's a different question. To what extent? That's a different question, my dear brothers and sisters. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one athar, in one text, I believe it is authentic, I don't know, but the dua is like this, subhanallah. Allahumma ja'al khashyataka akhwaf al-ashya'i indi waj'al hubbaka ahabba al-ashya'i ilay. وقطع عني حاجات الدنيا بالشوق إلى لقائك. وقطع عني حاجات الدنيا بالشوق إلى لقائك. وإذا أقررت أعين أهل الدنيا من دنياهم فأقرر عيني من عبادتك. النفس المطمئنة, النفس الملائكية. فأقرر عيني من عبادتك, فأقرر عيني من عبادتك. The text says what means, Ya Allah, please grant me khashya of you, fear of you, awe for you. Such that there is nothing more fearful to me than you. And grant me your hub, your love, such that there is nothing more beloved to me than you. And please, Ya Allah, sever my need for dunya. Sever my need for dunya by connecting me to you through longing for you. See, subhanAllah, how that is done? Let my concern for this dunya and my need for this dunya be severed by attaching the other rope. Longing for you. If there is shauq for Allah, the ties are severed. And he says then, and then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what means? And ya Allah, when you refresh the eyes of the people of dunya with their dunya, please refresh mine with your ibadah. With your ibadah. Nafsun malaikiyya, that finds its solace, its peace, its joy, its happiness in that. فَإِذَا أَقْرَرْتَ أَعْيُنَ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا مِن دُنْيَاهُمْ فَأَقْرِرْ عَيْنِي مِنْ عِبَادَتِكَ. نفس ملائكية. اللهم إني أسألك نفسا مطمئنة تؤمن بلقائك وترضى بقضائك وتقنع بعطائك. Said he صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ya Allah, grant me, and teaching us therefore, grant me a nafs that is at peace, in اطمئنان, تؤمن بلقائك, who is faithful in coming to you, in meeting you, and who is pleased with your decree. Pleased with your decree, good or bad. Pleased, not only bearing and forbearing, pleased with your decree, good or bad, hard or easy, prosperity or adversity. Give me that nafs. And he had it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's teaching us, and that his ubudiyya being expressed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa نفسا مطمئنة تؤمن بلقائك وترضى بقضائك وتقنع بعطائك. And that nafs that has qana'a, contentment with what you ever give. نفس ملائكية. نفس مطمئنة. And if I find solace in ذكر of Allah عز وجل, if I'm attracted to that, if I'm drawn by that, if I miss it when it is not there, all of those are indicative of alhamdulillah, the elements of a nafs that is malaiki. And thus, the ilm of the nafs, of what type of nafs I have, is important. Sometimes I reckon that we can quantify nowadays and study the psychology of my nafs by, and I can find out quantifiably what type of nafs I have. I can actually have someone or myself, you know, times that I spend effective times, effective times, or do they call them also sometimes? Time that you spend with your family, they call it
quality time.
How much quality time I spend in searching for eating and eating and drinking, searching for copulating means and ways, and doing that, and sleeping. How much effort and quality time I spend in searching for, attaining, and experiencing those. Versus, how much time I spend in pursuit of, attainment of, and expression of that which a malak is satisfied with. And I can time myself. And in this approximation, then I can discover in some way whether my nafs is a combination of the first three, or a combination of the first three and the fourth one, and which one dominates. Then the one that dominates characterizes the basic identity of my nafs. Then I have to do something about it. If you asked our ulama, rahmahumullah ta'ala, and truly so, as they discussed this matter, let's say from when they approached it from the perspective of the qulub, al-qalb al-mariz, wal-qalb al-mayyit, wal-qalb al-salim, wal-qalb al-sahih, when they approach it from that, there is a qalb that is mayyit, heart that is dead, and a heart that is dead, therefore, is a heart that is overwhelmed by the grasp of the lower three states of the nafs, completely suffocated, mayyit, and shaitan resides therein at liberty, mayyit. And qalb that is sahih, salim, mashallah, is a qalb who has completely disengaged from the nafs, and it is synonymous to an-nafs al-mutma'inna. An-nafs al-mutma'inna and the qalb become almost the same entity. And then there is a qalb that is mariv. It's neither dead, mayyit, nor salim, nor fully sahih, that is fed by two sources. One source of hypocrisy and of kufr and of wickedness, and one source of salama, of iman, of taqwa, of mahabba for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a qalb that is mariv. And that qalb inclines towards the force that is stronger at a time. And they tell us, our teachers, our ulama, rahmahumullah ta'ala, and truly so, that most of us as Muslims have qalb that is mariv. Meaning the coefficient of al-nafs al-bahimiyya, wal-nafs al-sabu'iyya, wal-nafs al-shaytaniyya, their coefficient is larger than the coefficient of al-nafs al-malaikiyya. That's why tazkiyah therefore becomes what? Becomes mechanisms, the methodology, and the path, the process by which we cultivate an-nafs al-malaikiyya, and we dispense of an-nafs al-shaytaniyya and the excesses of the nafs al-bahimiyya and al-sabu'iyya. That's the essence now of tazkiyah. If I don't know my nafs, I cannot help my nafs. If I misdiagnose my nafs, I cannot help my nafs. I still remember many times, I think some of you may have also experienced that, some people, some Muslims, Allah hafizahum Allah and Allah forgive us and forgive them all, who smoke cigarettes. Smoking cigarettes, al-arjahu fil aqwali annahu haram. Smoking cigarettes, al-arjahu fil aqwali annahu haram. The evidence that is most weighing of the opinions, in view of the opinions of the ulama, is that it is haram. Anyways, and I used to talk to a few persons, and this one in particular was a family member, a husband to some family member. Overall, what we call a nice person, what we call, a gentle person, and so on, in that cultural sense. And he smoked so bad, Ya Latif. And I still remember as a young person, I used to tell him, why do you do that and stop? And you should stop, it's not good for you, Ilahi Valik, and it's very difficult to stop and so on. And he used always to answer, no, really, if I knew it was bad for me, I would stop when I want. And he really said it with quietness. He was a calm person. He was not an aggressive person. He says, really, it's not bad for me. And he was in his 30s, highly educated. Now, it doesn't hurt me. If I knew it would hurt me, I will stop when I wanted to stop. I think you know the rest of the story. When he wanted to stop, he couldn't stop. He has always misdiagnosed himself. and wanted to be at the same time the patient and the doctor. I should not misdiagnose my nafs. Remember what it was also said? ما أعز الله عبدا بعز أعز من أن يبدي له ذل نفسه. ما أعز الله عبدا أعز له من أن يبدي له ذل نفسه. وما أذل الله عبدا أذل له من أن يحجب عنه ذل نفسه. There is no more izz, no more exaltation and upliftment, and there is no more loftier of a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a abd than when he unveils for him or her the lowliness of his or herness. And there is no zul, no lowliness, no debasement lower than and worse than Allah making the abd unaware of, veiling the abd from the lowliness of his nafs. I must begin to acknowledge that, my dear brothers and sisters. من أراد العزة فإن العزة لله جميعا. العزة ليست في النفس. العزة خارج النفس. العزة بالخروج عن النفس. عزة is not in the nafs. عزة is in Allah, with Allah. عزة is by exiting from the nafs, not by being with the nafs, in the nafs, and by the nafs. And I must know my nafs, my dear brothers and sisters. That will lead us, of course, to realize the consequence of these lower states of the nafs, the zunub, the ilm of the zunub. And in conclusion for today, inshaAllah ta'ala, I think at this point we can already come to the conclusion that I do not need freedom of my nafs, I need freedom from my nafs. Remember that. And we shall continue, inshallah, on the subject of ilm tomorrow as well, bi-ithnillah. And remember to summarize what you have learned. I mean by that summary, your reflections as to how you find this in you, how you see it, how you, the difficulties before, now, the path in front of you, your reflections on this, inshallah ta'ala. That you must do, everyone, though we'll have only one or two or so to do that summary, but the intent is that it is itself muraja'ah. Remember, ilm will not benefit if it is not recorded, and if it is not learned, and if it is not reviewed, and if it is not memorized. They say, al-ilmu fi al-ras, laysa fi al-kurras. But al-ilmu fi al-kurras qabla an yadkhul al-ras. They say ilm, knowledge is in the ras, in the head, not in the notebook. Well, before it goes into the ras, in the head, it must pass by the notebook. Because if you don't, nobody is al-Imam Shafi'i. And al-Imam Shafi'i wrote ilm. Al-Imam Ahmad, who memorized, it is said, it is he who memorized, I think, over 600,000 a hadith with their isnad. The Quran, of course, without Quran they don't even begin these things. Who said, without recording ilm, what would we be? إِيش كُنَّا لَوْلَا كِتَابَةِ الْعِلْمِ قَالَ رَحْمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِكَلِمَةِ إِيش كُنَّا لَوْلَا كِتَابَةِ الْعِلْمِ رَحْمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. You write ilm. You review ilm, muraja'atul ilm, that part of the daily diet of ilm. Yuhfabul ilm, sometimes to memorize ilm.
than to understand ilm, to practice ilm, and to share ilm. أول العلم السماع ثم الحفظ ثم الفهم ثم العمل ثم النشر.
These are the stages of ilm. So ask my brothers and sisters to do that for the sake of our own sake of learning. Keep repeating the ilm. If you don't memorize it, it's gone. And sometimes, why do we have difficulties in doing things? Because we don't have ilm. So, no, I learned that. You learned it. I learned it, but I forgot it. I learned it once in a majlis. Yes, I did learn that in a majlis. But then I have never repeated it. I have never memorized it. I have never reviewed it. I never gave it time to sink into my qalb. So that when an opportunity comes, spontaneously, it is recalled to my memory as I face a situation. And then it comes with a momentum to require from me to act. But I learned it, but because I do not review it and I do not memorize it, it will not be present, it will not be handy when needed, like when I leave from here. Isn't it true? حفظكم الله, my dear brothers and sisters, and remember dua for yourselves and for all your brothers and sisters for tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. وصلي اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.